Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I am the host of It's Everything West Texas, and we are always trying to bring you interesting programs. And I think the last few have been very interesting because we have ventured into a space that we've not been in before, and that's the arena of politics. And we are not endorsing any candidate, but we believe that everyone should have an opportunity to find out what's on our candidates' minds. And so we have with us today Mr. Kyle McAllister. So, Kyle, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you, Floyd. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And first of all, just tell us a little bit about your family, and then we'll get into to politics a little later here.
Okay. Well, I have lived in Abilene off and on since 1985. In fact, I was a student there at ACU and was there when KACU went on the air in 1986. I remember coming back from the Metroplex and kind of coming through that little gap there just to the east of Baird, and for the first time heard, at the time, 89.7 KACU. And spent my years at ACU, working at KACU, and then spent some time after that at KACU and also at K-Texas and KRBC and KTAB as well. But after graduation, I spent a couple of years in broadcasting, bouncing around the stations here in town, but also at a station in North Carolina and a station in San Antonio, and landed back here in Abilene. In that short time, my wife and I have had two daughters that are now 29 and 31. My youngest lives in Fort Worth. My oldest lives in Ireland. And so we don't get to see her, obviously, as much as we'd like.
Right.
Been back in Abilene, been here solid since probably the late 1990s, so 96, 97 time frame. Spent about 18 years working with Aflac, and since then, and then the past 6 years have been with Lamar Advertising. I officiate soccer games, both at the high school and college level, and am an active member of my church, a deacon at my church, city council-wise, as far as politics goes, have been on the Abilene City Council since 2013. So this would be my fifth term. I have had four elections successful, seeking my fifth term, and looking forward to continuing to work for the citizens of Abilene because this is my town. I mean, this is where I live. This is where I pay taxes. This is where my job. Everything is here. This is my town, and I want to do everything I can to make it better. Yes, for me, but for also future generations, as they come along.
Okay, well, thank you for that introduction and telling us a little bit about yourself. And you segue into being on the city council. So I want to ask you, what do you think has been your greatest accomplishment as a servant? It don't matter whether it's in the city or somewhere else.
There are a lot of things I think that, I can look back on, and it is kind of interesting because when I got on the council, there are some council members that had served a long time. There was Shane Price, and there was Anthony Williams, and Norm Archibald, and those guys had been on the council for a long time. Well, as time has gotten to now, we're at this point, Shane is now the only more senior council member than I am. And then all the rest of the council members have come on after I started in 2013. And so I think it might be hard to say here's one thing that I've done or one thing, because there are a lot of things that that I have had a hand in. You know, we on the council work together as a team. We are a team of seven members. And when something good goes, we all do it together. And so I feel like that's a great kind of a teamwork that we have. And so far, you know, as far as what I'm most proud of, I would say that, yeah, there's a lot of things I can point to, you know, getting the street maintenance fund kind of off the ground, working on securing our water supply, working on, you know, improvements that we've gotten, you know, at the zoo and in downtown Abilene and infill development. Those are all very important things that we've worked on. But I would hope that what I would consider to be my biggest success is when I first ran for council. So back in 2013, I was asked by a reporter, Kyle, at some point in the future, when either you don't run again or you get beat, what would you want people to say about you? And what I have always tried to live by is I would want people to say about me, I didn't always agree with him, or maybe I did always agree with him, but I always knew where he stood. And I think that's important to me. To a success on the council is that people know where I stand, and whether that, you know, if I vote one way and if they agree with me or disagree with me, they know where I stand. And I'm not flip flopping and wishy washy and all over the place. That, you know, I do have my opinions about things, but I always try to vote what I feel like the citizens of Abilene want. And I hope that any vote that I've ever taken, you can look back and see that, yeah, he said he was going to vote the way the citizens wanted, and that's the way he voted, kind of regardless of personal belief. Because there are times when there might be something that I may not have an opinion on at all, because it really doesn't directly affect me. But I'm always going to vote the way the citizens want me to vote, and I hope that they will always look at me as, okay, we knew where he stood, we knew what he stood for, and he was always solid in that resolve.
Okay, you brought up a word, and you were pretty passionate about it, so I want to talk about the other side of it. And what you said is that we, as the city council, is a team. So that's the way you see yourself and those other individuals as a team. Now, sometimes as I've been out in the community, you know, most of the time the city council votes the same way. Some people see that as rubber stamp. They just say, oh, okay, well, those guys are going to just rubber stamp everything. So if you can talk about that a little bit, is the team being a team versus a rubber stamp, if you will.
Right. No, and that's, and you know, we had a forum recently where that exact phrase came up, that, you know, the city council doesn't need to be just a rubber stamp. And I think the reason that we often all vote the same is because in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases. So let me back up and say this. Okay. So whenever an item comes before the city council, it has two readings. There's a first reading, which is just kind of a procedural reading, that when we have our, what's called our consent agenda, and I apologize, this is going to kind of be a long answer, but when we have our consent agenda, a lot of the zoning cases and things like that are all lumped together in one, and that is the first reading. And that is kind of the notification to the public, okay, hey, we've looked at this, it's gone through its first reading, now we have 2 weeks for the citizens to talk to us and for us to do research, and then we come back, you know, for the final vote, which is usually in 2 weeks, sometimes it's 3 weeks, depending on, you know, the way that the meetings fall. Oftentimes, in that first reading, we will each bring up, or perhaps ask questions, concerns that we have about things, and oftentimes, those can be addressed by staff, by citizens, by going to either the proponent or an opponent of a plan and trying to work together and come to a compromise. And many times, in the first reading, if we have an issue, by the second reading, we've resolved it. A perfect example of something that just recently happened was there was a proposal to make some rule changes concerning spay and neutering of dogs. And it came to the first reading, and there was a lot of pushback, if you will, from the kennel club here in town, from a lot of dog owners, a lot of dog breeders that said, hey, this is not really the best way to handle it. And we took the time and we came together, and I don't want to say in secret because it wasn't in secret, but the staff put together a new proposal that we then brought before everybody, and everybody was good with it. And so, yeah, it passed, I think, 7-0. And so a lot of times that rubber stamping is because we have already kind of worked through some of the issues that maybe I've heard concerns, or, you know, Travis has heard concerns, or the mayor has heard concerns, and we've already worked through some of that so that when we bring something to vote, you know, it is ready to go. Now, does that mean that we always vote 7-0? Not at all. I remember there was a zoning case over there, Memorial, about 2 years ago, and it failed one time 4-3, and then we changed it, and it failed a different 4-3, and it just kept going, and finally it just failed because we could never get, you know, four affirmatives. So to say that we rubber stamp, I guess to some people it might look that way, and I can understand that, but it's not because we're just passing things through. It's because we've had discussions, we've gotten input from developers, from residents, from businesses, and we have worked together to come to a consensus. Another issue is, you know, there was a kind of a housing project downtown, and I believe it's the old WTU building down there, kind of right across. I think it's right across the street from the Paramount. Anyway. Several weeks ago, that came to us, and they were looking to make it into an apartment complex. Well, there were a lot of concerns by several individuals that had not been addressed, and so we looked at it, and we got all those concerns addressed, and then everyone was on board with it. And so, you know, we passed it that way. And again, if it's something that the community wants, then we will vote for it. If it's something the community doesn't want, for the most part, we will vote against it.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that there is extra research that's done, and that these things may be fleshed out a little more than what the average citizen sees.
Correct. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of times, not always, but, we'll have something comes to first reading and someone will say, hey, I just had a question. Could you look at this or could you look at this? Or it is done just an email to, maybe to the planning department. And then those concerns are kind of worked through behind the scenes. And then when it comes to us as a finished product, again, you know, the finished product comes before the city, and with everything, on a second reading, everything has a public hearing on a second reading. So everybody has a chance to come and speak either for it or against it. And, again, hopefully we have done enough work kind of behind the scenes to make sure that when that second reading gets here, that we have addressed the concerns. Not always. And we have some issues that, you know, that will go, there'll be a 6-1 or a 5-2. And that happens, you know, not a lot, but it does happen. But I think, you know, the, hey, we just rubber stamp everything is not an accurate description of what we do. We research and try to come to, you know, conclusions, and, people think that compromise is a bad word. We work with each other to see what's best, and / more importantly, we work with the proponent or the opponent to see what they are comfortable with. And if there's an issue and the proponent, if they're really far apart, if we can find the middle ground, well, that's better for everybody. You know, if we can kind of find that middle ground to work together.
Okay. Well, I think you've answered that. I didn't have that question on my agenda to ask, but when you talked about team so passionate, I thought, well, this would be a good time to get that
question. Sure. And I think it's important for people to understand that's kind of how we work.
Okay. So What do you see as the greatest opportunity for the city right now?
You know, we have such a great opportunity to grow this city. We have started the process, and it's been a long overdue process of fixing our streets. Streets will always be probably number one on people's minds, followed very closely by water. I think the street maintenance fund that we've done is really beginning the process. We have, since 2016, we have improved about 29% or touched about 29% of our streets, which means, yeah, we've still got 71% to go. But we are working on that, something that we had not been doing for a while. We are working on the opportunities to further, ensure and solidify our water supplies. Right now, we have three water stations or three water treatment plants in Abilene. We are shutting the one downtown, the Grimes treatment plant, upgrading the Northeast treatment plant and the Hargesheimer treatment plant, which is in South Abilene. And by increasing the capacity of those to be able to meet the future water needs, you know, we can shut down one of the plants that really is kind of the end of life. You know, we hopefully are with some of our economic tools. Yes, there's the DCOA, but we also have 380 agreements and other types of agreements like that in place to not only attract new businesses here in town, but also make sure that we take care of existing businesses. You know, the DCOA, yes, they bring in the big boys. They bring in the Great Lakes Cheese. They bring in, you know, some big companies. But they also help mom and pops. I mean, you know, there are small companies in town that have applied and gotten help from the DCOA, because the DCOA is to, you know, develop and retain quality employers for Abilene in that regard. And then, you know, we're working on, you know, quality of life. That's always important. If you want people to live here, you need to have a quality of life. You know, we are rebuilding our rec centers to make those more attractable and efficient and more useful to the community. You know, we've improved the zoo. We've made improvements to the zoo. We are working on downtown right now, especially on Cypress Street, to make that a more walkable area for folks. And of course, just the last meeting, and then again this meeting, you know, we'll be tackling the parking situation downtown, and hopefully continue to make it so that people have you know, have places to park and can get from you know, in the downtown area.
Okay. I think maybe it's just the nature of the beast, but people can be pretty cynical sometimes, and it to me, it's kind of a we versus them approach. So the people on the outside don't know for sure what's going on the inside, and they, like I said, it's a we versus them kind of situation. So,
right,
what could you do? How could people get involved? How could that be changed? Or can it?
You know, unfortunately, the national political climate is it's in shambles right now. I mean, it is, and. You know, if you're happy that, you know, if you're happy that this guy won and you're not happy that that guy, oh, yeah, whatever, it's just in shambles. And unfortunately, I think that distrust of the government on the federal level and to some extent on the state level makes its way to the city level. And, you know, if someone wanted to talk to Ted Cruz or to John Cornyn, you know, good luck. I mean, they probably are never going to get to talk to them. It's maybe a little easier, but not really easy to talk to. And I'm not blaming anybody, but to talk even to Jody Arrington is pretty tough. Stan Lambert is very accessible. He's here quite a bit. But a lot of people feel like the place where they can really, really talk to their representative is city council, because there's seven of us. We all live here in town. You see us every day at the grocery store or sporting events or community events or whatever. And so people feel very connected and feel like they can talk to city officials. Now, unfortunately, I think a lot of the mistrust from the national level kind of boils down and they kind of, you know, this is where they can kind of express some discontent. we have worked very hard as far as making what we do very transparent. If you go to the AbileneTX.gov website, anything you want is on the website. We've got a checkbook there that people can see where the money is being spent. We have got a street maintenance section that will tell you exactly what streets we've worked on, what streets we're working on, and what streets we're planning to work on. There are anything you want, financial statements, things like that. We are accessible to the public. Now, one of the things that people, I don't think, know, but the state of Texas several years ago passed a rule to avoid what's called a walking quorum. And that means that even though we're not all in the same room, if someone emails the city a question, if someone emails the city council and says, I'm concerned with whatever, okay? If I answer and then Shane answers and then say Brian answers and then Weldon answers, well, now all of a sudden we've got a quorum because four of us have answered somebody about a question that was not on the public agenda. So what has happened is the state of Texas has required us to not answer individuals on a one-on-one basis for an item that's going to come before city council because we can't. And that is extremely frustrating for me. I know it's frustrating for many council members because we want to talk to people. We want to be able to explain things, but we can't. Legally, we can't. So when people send an email to the city email address that comes to all of us, it's my understanding. Now, if it's not, we'll need to get it fixed. But it's my understanding that they get a response back that says your email has been received. Due to state law, council members cannot respond individually. Okay. Well, again, there's going to be some people that take that as, well, what are they trying to hide? That just means they're not. And that's not it at all. It's just that we can't legally. But when those questions come before us in city council and we're in open forum where everybody can hear us, then you know, we can discuss those. But being available to the public and listening to people, I think we do a good job. There is, unfortunately, you know, when people come to us with questions, just because they don't get the answer they want doesn't mean that they weren't heard. And some people think that if they don't get the answer they want, they weren't listened to. And that's not the case. Sometimes the questions they answer and the answers we're able, the questions they ask and the answers we're able to give them may not be what they want to hear. And so they go away with a bad taste in their mouth. But the us versus them, I mean, you know, I always remind people, I'm a homeowner here. I'm a property owner here in Abilene. I have a utility bill, utility service, just like everyone else. So if we ever vote on something that increases taxes, I'm increasing my own taxes. And if we ever vote on something that increases the utility bill or the water bill, I'm increasing my utility bill and water bill. So I'm not just flippantly voting for things. And so, you know, I am one of them because I do pay the same taxes and the same. And to the same extent, I have the same police department that comes helps me or the same fire department that comes helps me as everyone else. So do I want them to be the best? Yeah, because, you know, that's who comes and helps me too. And so I hope that people understand that, you know, we're just as invested in this as they are because we all have financial skin, so to speak, in the city, just like everyone else does.
Okay. I think maybe you've answered it, but I want to just follow up on this a little bit.
Okay.
Because let's just say that myself and somebody came, both of us are passionate about what it is that we want. And it's obvious that both of us, if the council is going to make a decision, one of us is not going to get out of the way. So what do you do to make that person know that, yes, you really were hurt. You really were hurt. How do you do that? I make an attempt at it.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I will always try to do is obviously listen to what they have to say and you know, do any research. that I have to, as far as, hey, you know, I know, you know, because sometimes, and I'll get, but sometimes people will come and say, hey, I want you to do this. And maybe, unfortunately, because of state law or federal law, we can't. And I will give you just this is kind of a roundabout, but people often get frustrated with us because of, say, rundown houses, dilapidated houses. And they are like, well, how come you guys can't condemn this piece of property? The reality is the condemnation process is long and laborious. And for good reason, because you don't want someone just coming knocking down someone's house because they get mad at their neighbor. But, you know, there's a long process to condemn a building and then eventually to knock it down. That's a very long process. And some people may think, oh, that's a pretty quick process, and it's not. And so sometimes part of it is we just have to explain to people there's a process. But as far as if I had two people that were on polar opposites, and you know, obviously, you know, there's no laws being broken or anything like that, I would just say to them, you know, position A, position B, where can we meet in the middle? You know, what are you willing to give up? If you want 1, 2, and 3, and you want 1, 2, and 3, would you be each happy with a little bit? And we do try to find that compromise. We do try to find, or I can't say we, I will say me. I try to find that compromise, because I think that everybody, if everyone is willing to listen to each other, you know, a lot of times everyone kind of wants the same things. They just have a different route of getting there.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, okay, yes, you want this and you want this. For example, if someone says, hey, I have a piece of property that I want to put a coffee stand on, and it's my property and I want to put my coffee stand on it, and the neighbor behind them says, I don't want the lights. You know, I don't want lights shining in my backyard because from a coffee stand. Okay, well, then you work with them. Okay, well, how far can we set those lights back? Can we make sure that the lights only point into the coffee stand instead of, because, you know, some lights you can point, you know, 360, but then you get some lights at 180.
Right.
Okay, so if we have lights at 180, if we limit the hours to say, okay, you can have a coffee shop, but you have to close at 10 o'clock as opposed to mid. You know, so there's always ways, I think, that we can work through situations. Unfortunately, though, you know, I know, listeners know, sometimes there is someone who gets their way and someone who doesn't. And that's, and you know, and it's hard. It's hard when you don't get your way, but I don't want anyone to ever think they didn't get their way because we just kind of brushed them off.
Oh.
That, you know, we will hear their sides. And that's, you know, the process we have when someone wants to make a change, and the lion's share of what we get are things like, you know, planning and zoning. You know, someone has a piece of property and they want to do this on it, and the neighbors don't want them to do this on it. Well, there's a long planning and zoning process before it even gets to council. And planning and zoning goes back and forth, and then they make a recommendation, and then it comes to us, and we have public hearings, and we vote on there. But plenty of opportunities in there for people to say, I'm for this, I'm against it, this is why I'm for it, this is why I'm against it, here's the history. I mean, there are plenty of opportunities for people to do that. I hope that they understand that sometimes though, we do have to make some tough calls, and we have had to make some tough calls. That's why, you know, I feel like my experience on the city councils is that I have made those tough calls, and will continue to do so, because there are some tough calls that have to be made. Not everyone agrees on everything. And sometimes there's some very contentious voices up there. But that's part of the process that we have to work through.
Okay, well, we're kind of getting close to the end. I've got a couple of more questions that I wanted to ask you. I think you probably just kind of asked it, maybe why you think you're legally qualified to be on the city council. But if it's something else that you need to say there, you can go ahead and do that.
Well, I mean, I think my qualification is my experience. Like I said, I have been on the council since 2013. Prior to that, I was involved in local party politics. So I have dealt in those situations. We have been through, well, multiple budgets. We've been through multiple now city managers that we're having to pick a new one. because Robert is retiring. I just think that my experience there, I think my temperament, because, you know, you do deal with people that don't agree with you, and you don't agree with them and they don't agree with you. And I think, one of the things that I can have shown in the past and will continue to show is my temperament to be able to work with people who, have questions, have concerns, and to be able to work with that. And then the other thing is, I believe my investment, like I said, I'm a taxpayer here. I pay into the system, so to speak. So I have financial skin in the game. And so when a tax question comes up, I mean, yeah, it's going to affect me too.
Oh, okay. As we stated, we've kind of talked about things on the national level, how kind of people say one thing, say anything almost about their opponent. So we're not asking you to endorse any of your opponents, but is there just something that you could say complimentary towards them?
Absolutely. It is true. I mean, I have opponents and we disagree on some things, but the thing that I always want people to understand is I appreciate, and in this case, it's Miguel and Cynthia. I appreciate their willingness to run. This is not easy to do. It is not easy to put yourself out there and let everyone kind of go through your life with a fine tooth comb all for a dollar a year. I mean, we get paid a dollar a year to do this. So basically, we do city council because it's what we believe in. It's a passion that we have. It's the desire to keep this city moving in the right direction. And even though I disagree with my opponents and have disagreed with them in the past, my praise to them is their willingness to jump in the fray. Because there's a lot of people that will gripe and gripe and gripe and gripe and not do anything about it except gripe and gripe and gripe some more. But being on the city council, even running for city council, I mean, you know, you sit up in front of people and they ask you questions, and some of them don't even know you, and they're not going to like you just because of the answer that you give.
Right.
And that's not easy to do. If it was easy, everybody would run, but most people don't. And so I would say my praise to my opponents is that they are willing to in their own way to try to make a change for Abilene. And I do appreciate that, because that's how the process we have works, is that people with different opinions sometimes run, and the one that most aligns with the opinions of the residents, you know, gets elected.
Okay. So, I guess we're here to wrap it up. Is there anything that you would like to say to the public?
You know, I guess I would just say this, that, you know, it's a pretty clear cut choice in the election this year. Experience and tolerance are two of the things that I think I really bring to the table. And I have appreciated and enjoyed tremendously serving the citizens of Abilene since 2013, and look forward to serving them into the future. And just as a reminder, early voting starts April 22nd and election day is May 3rd. And my name is Kyle McAllister for Abilene City Council, place 5.
Okay, Kyle, I appreciate you being with us
you betcha.
Today, and be safe on the campaign trail.
I will. Thank you. And Floyd, I do appreciate you taking time to visit with me. Thank you.
It's okay. Everything West Bye-bye. Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.